Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to another Tuesday edition of The Preacher and the Miracle Man Show. And I'm your host for this evening, The Miracle Man. I am, as usual, here at the McDonald's at 1711 South Saginaw, here in Midland, across the street from a Kmart store. I am northwest of a disability network. No, excuse me. I am southeast of a disability network of Mid-Michigan office, northwest of a Admiral gas station. You're coming south on Saginaw Road, we're on the left or east side of the road, which coming north means it would be on your right. But I'm here at McDonald's, I'm towards the back of the restaurant, and I have with me, as I the vast majority of the time have with me, the most refreshing, most delicious soft drink of all. I'm talking about that classic Coca-Cola. They always say, people always say that McDonald's has some of the best Coke. Would I say it's the best Coke available? I don't know. I'm not saying it is. I'm not saying it's not. It is way, 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 way up there, though. When it comes to fountain drinks, it's some of the best there is. And I would love it if McDonald's could have the Coke Freestyle, along with the certain elements that make the McDonald's Coke so delightful. That would be so amazing. Because then you could have, you know, the delightfulness of a classic McDonald's Coca-Cola with vanilla. I can just imagine how good that would be. So I'd like the Coke Freestyle to be able to be blended to meet the needs of McDonald's. So that could mean maybe there's maybe a little bit more vanilla in the vanilla Coke. Maybe a little more cherry syrup on the cherry Coke. Maybe, obviously some of the vanilla yellows and that would stay the same, but I hope there can be a way that McDonald's can gain some control. But if you're in the area, you are very welcome to come on into McDonald's and say hi to me, Miracle Man, and let me tell you something. I'm really, 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 really excited about our time in the Word tonight. I'm extremely excited about it. So, right now, I'm going to tell you what the plan is for tonight. And that is, these are just kind of some of the highlights, some of the things we'll be talking about. In the Bible, we're going to be reading from Luke 17. It's Testimony Tuesday. The miracle we're going to be reading about is Jesus healing the 10 lepers. we're also going to read the rest of chapter 17, you know, where it talks about seeing our sin, as well as the last days. Kind of talks a bit about what the last days were like, will be like. Which, by the way, we are in the last days. We are. And so, I feel like there's some stuff about that tonight that God wants me to share a little bit of. The good news is that we can have hope and faith in God. So, I was real excited about the word for tonight. We are going to read Hebrews 11, as is customary, along with the first two verses of Hebrews 12. And you may be thinking, well, Miracle Man, what sports, what's he going to be talking about sports-wise? Well, the Tigers do begin play again today after being off for a day yesterday. I'll let you know where that will be, who they'll be playing, and who the starting pitcher is. Need a little bit of an update on where we are in the standings. And Houston Astros and what they're up to right now. Really interesting. And then trying to think. Is something going to be in the NFL? Oh, Washington. The head coach for the Washington Capitals stepped down after winning a championship. The Stanley Cup. I'm going to talk briefly about that. So, we have some sports to talk about. Not too much, necessarily. But we do have a wonderful show planned for you tonight. And so it's going to be awesome. And whenever God's in stuff, it always is awesome, you know. And so you know, it's so cool, you know, when you're here at McDonald's and you just hear those little kids. Sometimes we can think they're annoying and that, sometimes and loud. Other times you have to look and think, you know, they're God's little blessings. And after all, Jesus said to the little kid, Jesus said, let the children come to me. And that's regardless of whether they're little kiddos or whether they're teenagers. That doesn't matter. But we have a great show. And so before I get into the introduction, let me just tell you that this portion of the show has, as normal, and has been brought to you by McDonald's. And it's summer is just about here. as far as the summer solstice is concerned, the solstice is in just 2 days. The vast majority of America's children are now out of school for the summer. But summer means heat. And what better way to cool down quickly than with a cool beverage or an ice cream? Yes, you can swim in that, but, you know, you'll probably want to be there a while. But I'm talking about something you can do to be cool that you can do on the go, like you're on your bike from work or whatever. You can go to McDonald's and you can cool off with either a small shake for $2 or a small cold McCafe beverage of another kind, any other kind, for $2. Or you can, for just $1, you can cool down with any size Coke product, soda, fountain drink. For $1.59, you can get a Minute Maid slushie. So it's like a Sloopy type thing. For about $1.29, you can get an ice cream. So McDonald's does have a lot of summertime cool down options. We can go through if you want a good cool down. As far as the McFlurries and that, see store for details in terms of pricing and availability, as options may vary. For example, McDonald's in Midland, Michigan may have the peanut butter McFlurry, the Reese's McFlurry, but a location in Chattanooga, Tennessee may not. So see store for details on that. Now, those of you who have been listening to the show for a long time, whether it be 3 months, 6 months, or since the first show date, I want to thank you very much for that. And I want you to bear with me for just a quick minute. Those of you who have friends and family who are interested in the show, want to learn more about the show, they can hook up to the show. And you can tell them how to hook up to the show. And I always say how, so that you can show people how they can be a part of the show. And it's very easy. Here's what you do. You go to blogtalkradio.com. Once again, that is blogtalkradio.com. The website. And then when you get on the website, you'll see a search bar. In that search bar, you will see a link that will say, when you hit the search box, when you get in the search box, you'll type in Upfront Entertainment. After you've typed in Upfront Entertainment and you close the search box, you'll see a link you can click on. And that link goes to our channel. And our channel is called Living Large. And it's awesome. We've done over 160 episodes. 160 episodes That is a lot. And I explained briefly some of the things that we've done. And it is awesome what we've done. And want to know something cool? Everything we've done is archived on the website. So you can go back and listen to the shows that we've done and have access to, like, the old archives, like the stuff that we did back in the younger days of the show. And by younger, all I mean by younger is that we were still getting kind of used to doing this. All that stuff is archived. You don't have to be a VIP member or any of that in order to go back and listen. However, I would like you to hit that follow button when you get on the website. And here's why. I want you to hit that follow button because once you hit that follow button, you're going to get notified when I get ready to do my show. So, this means that tomorrow night at about 6 o'clock, 6:15, you'll get a notification on your cell phone, on your computer. And it'll say, "The Preacher and the Miracle Man show goes live at 6:30. Please be ready." You know, and then you'll be able to come on and join us. And you're asking, what's the show about? Why is it called The Preacher and the Miracle Man? Let me tell you about the Miracle Man thing. As the Miracle Man, God has been so good to me. He's done a lot of things in my life, many miracles. But I'm still believing for more miracles to be made manifest in my life. And because of the amount of miracles that I've had, and I'm still believing for stuff, that's why I've been given the name Miracle Man for the show. From Preacher Man, who is busy now and he joins us time to time, he was a former pastor. So that's why we came up with the name Preacher and Miracle Man. And so, that's a little bit about why the show is called what it's called. No. You might be thinking, well, Miracle Man, why do you guys talk so much about God? We love God. We believe the Bible. We believe that Jesus is the only way. We're not Bible thumping bullies. We're just people, real men of God who love God with all our heart, all our soul, all our strength, and all our mind. We love Jesus, and we care about people. We care about all of you listening. We care about your souls. We care about you. That's part of why we do this. That is why we do this, actually, because we love you. So that's why we do this. And so, we also have a telephone number where you can call in. And we can talk about generally anything you want. And the telephone number you can call us in at is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that telephone number is area code 215-383-3810. You want prayer? Do you want to thank me for what I'm doing? Do you want to criticize me for something I'm not doing that you wish I would start doing? Call in. Let me know. It's Testimony Tuesday, so if you want to call in and broadcast to everybody listening what God's doing in your life, by all means, please call in. We want to hear from you. We want to hear what God's doing in your life. So please call in. And once you call the number, 215-383-3810, listen for the prompt. When you hear the prompt that says press 1, please press 1, and then here's what's going to happen. My assistant, Josh, sitting over here, he is going to let me know that a caller is calling in, and then we are going to let you on the show. And as I said, generally, we can talk about anything you want. We have an exception, though, and that is politics. We don't believe that politics necessarily breeds life, so that's why we don't really talk about it on the show. And if you want to talk about politics, please, by all means, if you insist on talking about politics, what's going to happen is we're going to tell you to pray for your leaders who have authority over you, as the Bible tells us to pray for those who have authority. And then we're also going to tell you to vote. Yeah. As here in America, we have a right and responsibility to vote. And then I'm going to encourage you to vote Bible, not pocketbook. And then, in addition, we just want you to use your filter. The Bible tells us not to let any filthy communication come from our lips. So we want to make this show, it's a family show. We want all people to be able to feel comfortable listening. And so we want God to be proud of this show. And so what I'm asking is, if you wouldn't say certain words to Jesus, please do not come on this program and say those words. So we can keep it clean and stay clear of politics. Then we can have an awesome show tonight and we can take some good calls, hopefully. And we'll see where everything goes. All right, let's pray. Well, let's pray in tongues for a minute. If you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, ask Jesus to fill you right now. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this wonderful show tonight. I thank you for these listeners who have made the choice to come on the show, to connect to the broadcast, and to listen to what is being said. I know none of these people have gotten on the website by accident. None of them. And if for some reason you're thinking, I got on here on accident, no, you didn't. And don't hit that Alt D and try to get it on a different address. Stay connected with us while we're live on the air. And Lord, I thank you that these listeners have a heart to receive, a mind to receive. Their heart is receptive, their mind is alert, that these people will do what the Bible says they can do, and they can have what the Bible says they can have, and that they will never, never, never be the same again. And I thank you that what we read about tonight, I pray that these listeners will put it into practice so that it'll mean more to them than just listen to some guy preach. I mean, do a broadcast from McDonald's. No. It's going to be much more than that, Lord. And Lord, I thank you that you used me tonight. Anoint my lips. Strengthen my voice. And Lord, help me to say only what you would have me say. Lord. And bless me tremendously for what I'm doing. Lord. And Lord, I confess over this show right now, tonight, that sponsors come in who want to help me do this work and get the word out to more people. I claim that finances will come into this program. I claim that new equipment will come into this program. And I thank you, Lord, that great increases in audience will come onto the show. I thank you that we'll have more and more and more and more listeners. Every time we do a broadcast, it'll continue to grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. It's all just on fire. And there'll be good listeners. Listeners who want to find you. Listeners who want to change their lives for you. And Lord, thank you that anyone who does not know you will give their life to you tonight. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you have your Bible with you, then open it up to the book of Luke, chapter 17. Glory! Woo! You know, we do that sheer thing every time we open, when we first open the Bible at Living Word. And we don't do it for some silly, dumb religious thing. Oh, no. We do it because we love God and we love what the Word of God has done for us. Praise God. And while you're turning in your Bible, I just want to remind you of something that I've been saying a lot lately, and that is, please don't just be a spectator tonight. Please don't. participate. Be a part of what we're doing. So, if I sing a song tonight and you don't know the lyrics, sing it. If I start praying again in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. As I open my Bible, my Bible is open. I'm going to begin to read right away after I finish this. And that is, when I'm reading the Bible, how long you got your Bible? And then when I'm exhorting, pay attention. Please. So whatever I do here at McDonald's, you do wherever you are on this great planet. So, we begin right now, Matthew 17, verse 1. By now, you should have found it. If you haven't found it yet, I'm going to tell Brother Barkley about you, and you're going to be sent to, we're going to send you back to the Trailblazers, which is with the 5- and 6-year-olds. Oh, you heard that, didn't you? No, we're not going to send you back there. I'm just kidding with you, but I read, you catch up. Jesus said to his disciples, things that cause people to sin are bound to come, but woe to the person through whom they come. It would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around his neck than for him to cause one of those little ones to sin. So watch yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you 7 times in a day, wow, that's a lot. And 7 times he comes back to you and says, I repent. Forgive him. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. He replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you just might be able to say to this you might be able to say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. No, it didn't say. You might be able to say to this mulberry tree, no, you will be able to say to this mulberry tree, you will be able to say, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Suppose one of you had a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Would he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, come along now and sit down to eat? Would he not rather say, prepare my supper? Get ready and wait on me while I eat and drink. I am that you may eat and drink. Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. we have only our duty. Verse 11. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, he came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, for he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 men cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Verse 20. Once having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation. Nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is within you." Then he said to his disciples, "The time is coming when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you will not see it. Man will tell you, 'There he is,' or 'Here he is.' Do not go running off at them, for the Son of Man in his day will be with the lightning, flashes and lights up the sky from one end to the other. But first, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation." Not as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating, drinking, marrying, and being given in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating, drinking, buying, selling, planting, building. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur raced down from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just like this on the day the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, no one who is on the roof of his house with his goods inside should go down to get them. Likewise, no one in the field should go back for anything. Remember Lot's wife? Whoever tries to keep his life is going to lose it. And whoever loses his life for me will preserve it. I tell you, on that night, two people will be in one bed. One will be taken, the other will be left. Two women will be grinding grain together. One will be taken, and the other left. swear, Lord? They asked. He replied, where there is a dead body, there the vultures will gather. All right, let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Praise God, Hebrews 11. All right. I'm going to begin reading. Can you just, as before, go ahead and catch on up to me. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than what Cain did. And by faith, he was commended as one who, he was commended as a righteous man. And when God spoke well of his offerings, and by faith he still speaks even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch, when he was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death, he could not be found, because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now I always add, but with faith, it is possible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must first believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Earnestly means diligently and very often. By faith, Noah, when he was warned about things he didn't yet see, in holy fear he built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world, and he became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city of foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father, because he considered him faithful, who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he is good as dead, became descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sand on the seashore. And all of these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them, and they welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. And people who say such things, they show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, he spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt, and he gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw that he was no ordinary child. They were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose instead to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. And by faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. And by faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. Keep going. And by faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. And by faith, the people, and by faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. What more shall I say? I do not have the time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, and they refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. They were all committed for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us will they be made perfect. Now that we're going to read the first two verses of Hebrews chapter 12. So, praise God, first two verses of Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on the Tigers and what they're doing, whether they win or lose. Does it say that? Oh, let us fix our eyes on the upcoming Patriots season. Oh, the Lions. Nope, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. It does not say that. And we're going to read that whole thing again, right? We're going to start from the beginning, and we're going to get it right. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And let us fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, we were reading in the Bible tonight. We discovered the 10 lepers. Jesus healed. Jesus is coming back. You know, he's en route to preach. He sees 10 lepers, and they yell out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us." And Jesus heals them all. But only one of them comes back. Only one of them comes back. One. He kneels at Jesus, thanks Jesus for that healing that had been done in his body. But the other 9, they were not healed. I mean, they were healed, but they didn't come back. Jesus said, "Weren't all 10 of you cleansed? Where are the other 9? Where are they?" Where are they? And then he thanks Jesus and he goes and testifies about what he had seen Jesus do in his body. Now, lepers in those days, they had to live. If you had leprosy, you could not be going around and out and about and doing things, you know, going to work or whatever, with the rest of the community. No, you had to live in a leper colony, because leprosy is a very contagious disease. And if you have leprosy, then everyone around you can get it. And so these men who yelled Jesus, going to the leper colony rules, they were supposed to yell out, "Leprosy, leper, I have leprosy. Stay away from me, otherwise you'll get leprosy." That's what they were supposed to yell out, but they didn't yell that out. Instead, they yelled out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus dealt with the blind man like that, that yelled out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." But then Pharisees and Sadducees, they were yelling at him to be quiet and tried to push him back in that corner. And he yelled even louder, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." You know what? He got his miracle. He didn't go to a Benny Hinn crusade. He didn't go to one of these other big revivals. No, Jesus was right there on her, and he healed him, his eyes. It's great that we can have these crusades, you know, where things happen. Quite honestly, I'm believing desperately for revival to get back into our churches and for miracles to be a key part of the services. I'm believing God for that. And if you are, some of you are thinking, I'm thinking, you know, some of you may be thinking, well, Brother Schermbach, it went to heaven. Brother Oral Roberts went to heaven. Dr. Hagen's in heaven. And so we got Benny Hinn, but well, Jesus does the healing, but let's get rid of this idea that it has to be a very certain guy that's just like Benny Hinn or Brother Schermbach. No. Could be Dr. Buck. Could be any of them. But it's Jesus we pray to. I don't pray to Benny Hinn. I don't pray to Mark Barclay. I don't pray to Rob Parsley. I don't pray to Kenneth Copeland. I don't pray to any preacher who has a powerful ministry like that and has a great track record of things happening like that. No, I pray to Jesus. And in all those cases, all those great people, it's Jesus that does the miracle. It's not Benny. It's not Mark Buxley. It's Jesus. But God will use a man like Mark Barclay, Dr. Barclay, and Mark Barclay will say, I'm healing in the ear area right now. Or he may say, I'm healing in the eyes right now. I'm healing a blind man's eyes. I'm healing someone in a wheelchair. I'm healing. When you hear a man say that, now, if it's a guy like Dr. Barclay, you can trust and know that it's not Mark Barclay who has this crazy drug or whatever that just does the trick. No, it's speaking through God, and it is God saying, I'm healing in, you name the area, eyes, back, ear. Jesus is the miracle worker. Jesus is the miracle worker. And he does. Still, he still does miracles today. Still. And a lot of times when people get healed, they might not be at a Benny Hinn crusade. They might not be in their church. Hey, a lot of times it is, and that's awesome. But also a lot of other times, maybe it could be while you're taking a bath. Maybe it could be when you're sleeping. Maybe it could be you're at work and you couldn't get up from your desk a certain way, and then all of a sudden God heals you, and then you can. Maybe you're eating at the dinner table and you feel something happen. Hey, maybe it's on a nice sunny day and it's while you're in the water with your kids at the pool. Maybe you're sitting up on the deck watching them, provided they're a little older, like over 8 or 9 or so. But God heals regardless of where you are. You just got to be asking God for the healing. You know, I was in a doctor's office and my chiropractor, and he has a sign in there that says, I just do the adjustment, but God does the healing. God does the healing. And that is awesome. That is awesome. And so, I told you I was going to talk about the last days, about that little passage of scripture. And so, I will do that right now. Folks, we are in the last of the last days, right now. We are in a period where, just like the days of Lot, like the days of Noah, people were buying, selling, planting, building, eating, drinking. And there was all kinds of violence, all kinds of wickedness, and all that stuff going on. God came and destroyed everybody. Then we had Sodom and Gomorrah. Buying, selling, planting, building, eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. God says, I won't destroy Sodom if there's 50 righteous people. I won't do it if there's 40, 30, 20, or 10. There were not 10. And guess what? The fire and brimstone came down and destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And everyone who did not escape died. Sister Salt did not make it. She turned into a pillar of salt. All Noah's family made it, though. Let's see. Noah's family. Noah made it. His wife made it. Shem, Ham, Japheth, and all their wives. 8 people. They all helped build the ark. They all rode on. Now Lot made it. A couple of his daughters made it. And then, but Sister Salt didn't make it, and a couple others didn't make it. Sister Salt did not make it because she looked back. God told her not to look back. She looked back anyway. And guess what? She didn't make it. Folks, today is no longer a day that we can have 1 foot in the world, 1 foot in the church, teeter-totter, live in the will of God for a while, then out for a while, then in for a while, then out for a while, come back in, pray, read your Bible, sing for a while, give your tithes, run out there, you know, and maybe not be even really sinful, but just tell a lot. Tell her to give. Do a little of this, a little of that. Can't do that no more. Nope. You got to choose. God hates lukewarmness. God would rather you either be hot, on fire for him, or just have nothing to do with him. than to be lukewarm in the church once, miss a service, in a service, out of service, at church, and in other areas of life. God wants to see us smolder for Him. He wants to see us on fire for Him, worshiping, praising Him, obeying Him, doing what He says. It's the last of the last days, so you should be telling everybody you know about Jesus. I pray that God would help us on this, that every one of us would do better at telling people we see. And I tell people here and there, but I know I can tell more. So I'm preaching to myself a little bit. And I'm asking God to help us all with this, that we would tell more people about Jesus. And that if they don't know Him, that they would be able to give their life to Jesus. And So let's try to live, serve God wholeheartedly, and let's tell everyone we know about Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you can. And if you want to give your life to Jesus right now, you can call us at that number. The number is area code 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompts and then press 1. Josh is sitting over here and we'll let you on, and I can help you. We can help get you on the right track. Because we want you to make heaven. We want you to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Because if you don't accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you are going to hell fire. It's as simple as that. Well, I'm disabled. God doesn't care. Well, I'm 84 years old. Well, you have a lot of opportunities to give your life to Christ. And it'd be better to give your life to Christ on your deathbed than not at all. And yes, God has compassion for everybody, but, you know, if you do not accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior at any time, if you just don't accept Him, you go to hellfire. If you're here in tribulation, if you missed the rapture, you're still here in the tribulation period, they're going to start rounding up Christians. And if we'll say you were a Christian, but then you deny God, hellfire. But if you take the bullet, if you say, I do know Jesus is my Lord and Savior, I love Him and I worship Him, and they shoot you, then you go to heaven. I don't plan on missing the rapture at all. I'm doing everything so that I don't miss the rapture. But if I did, I would happily take a bullet for my Jesus. I would take a bullet right there for my Jesus to get to heaven. But you have to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior if you want to make heaven. You have to. And Lord, I thank you for this word tonight, that we would get it on the inside of us. First of all, Lord, I thank you for that wonderful miracle of you healing the 10 lepers you were found. But Lord, I thank you that you would help us to minister to more people, to minister to everyone we come in contact with. Help me in this area. Help my listeners, Lord. And I just thank you that you would bless these people who chose to join in and listen to the word of God coming from me. And I just thank you that you will help us all and that you are on our side. That with you, we don't have anything to fear. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, in sports news, the Detroit Tigers are in Cincinnati for a brief two-game series against Cincinnati Reds. The lowly Cincinnati Reds with one of the worst records in Major League Baseball. They have way more losses than wins. And Matt Boyd is pitching tonight. And he has done better than he used to be. I think he's getting better. I really do. And so I just know that he's doing good. He really is working hard, I feel. And so the Tigers right now are 3 games behind Cleveland. That's it. 3 games. Three. So they can sweep the Reds, and then Cleveland can lose 2 games. Then we can beat out in 1 game. And that's kind of hard to believe with all the losses we've had that that's where we are. But it is where we are. So if we can get to winning some more games, I know we're minus Cabrera, but still. You know, we could get some of the other batters to start hitting some more runs. That would really help us. It really would. It really would help us a lot if we could get those batters going a little harder, some more home runs, some more RBIs going to support our pitchers. They need that run support. Boyd needs it. Zimmerman needs it. Fulmer needs it. They all need it. Now, let's talk about the Astros. The Houston Astros came down from a 4-run deficit in order to win a game last night by a score of 5-4 in walk-off fashion, a walk-off two-run double in the bottom of the ninth. So it was 4-3. One of their batters gets in a double. They get some 2 runs, 5-4. Astros win. 12 games in a row, one of the hottest teams in baseball now. They lead the Mariners by a game. Earlier, just very recently, the Mariners were on top of the West. Now it's back to Houston being the best in the AL West. And why am I surprised? In a way, I'm surprised, but in another way, I'm really not. They got Verlander. That lineup is stacked. They have a lot of good And so they are just doing well right now, and they are just fucking big league, big league. And they are just really doing it right now. One little football note, and then I'll get to the last item. Michigan is installing blue turf in its end zone, so that when the players get in the end zone, they'll see the blue turf. Quite honestly, I think that is real cool that they're doing this. Kind of adds a little bit of celebratory something. But I wish the Michigan, I don't know why, when I listen to Michigan football on radio or TV, especially on radio, I don't know why, to me, it does not sound like Michigan has like one of the loudest college football stadiums in America. You would think with it being the biggest that it would be the loudest, assuming they're pretty good, but it's not always. So I wonder if they could do something with the acoustics or something, is I really would like to see that noise level increased in that place. I really would. And so maybe the fans just need to be a little more exuberant, a little louder. Who knows what's going on? I know there's videos out there on YouTube from like the 97 team and things like that. So maybe I'll take a look at one of those and see how that was. Maybe then I might figure something out. But let's see. Washington Nationals have their head coach resigned less than 2 weeks after winning a Stanley Cup championship in a series where they won 4-1. I don't know about you, but that surprises me. So I don't know if the coach is resigning because he feels like his goal was accomplished, or if he's resigning for other reasons. And I want to say good luck to him in his future endeavors, whatever he chooses to pursue. And who knows, maybe he'll want to come to Detroit. And Detroit really could use some help, I think. I'd love to see Detroit really become the hockey town again. I'd like to see that Little Caesars Arena just going wild and crazy like the Joe did. And when I was there at that Pistons game, it showed some signs for me that it could do that, be like that. But they're going to have to start winning more games. And when they do, it'll increase the fans' exuberance. That naturally it'll like help them become louder and stuff. Like they'll choose to be louder and cheer better and stuff, be more supportive, you know, which means their attendance will go up. And so I think it can be a really cool thing. And so, folks, until tomorrow night, God first, God always. So long, everybody, and I will see you all tomorrow.